Maseches Chulin has been dedicated in honor of Leslie Westreich, Elazar Meir ben Harav Yehoshua, a great chavrusa and friend. The following shir has been presented by Rav Yosef Greenwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
The Mishnah tells us on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph in Chulin that the opinion of Rabbi Kiva was that even though we know there's something called a nevela, we know there's something called a treifa. Nevela means where a proper shechita was not done. Rabbi Kiva, the Tana Rabbi Kiva held that any shechita where the essential act of shechita was performed, even if it was performed with a psul, one of the five psula shechita that we've been learning about in the last many dafim, then since the act of shechita was performed, even though the shechita was performed in a possible way, but still the animal is treifa, because the animal was essentially slaughtered, the animal was geshochten, it's a shechuta, and it only has a psul of treifa because of the psul in the shechita. And the Mishnah tells us that the halacha is not like Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shevov, paskin not that way. Klal om Rabbi Shevov mishum Rabbi Yeshua kol shem nifsalo. Bishchitosa, any psul which is inherently part of the shchita, meaning to say that the act of shchita, it was rendered possible by some psul in the ma'aser shchita itself, nevel, only kol shchitosa karoi, where the shchita was kosher, the shchita was kedasu kedin, v'dover achir gorim lo, there's only a psul mitzad, one of the internal organs of the animal, being treifa, that is a treifa v'hoid l'arib kiv. So we have over here the klal of Rabbi Shevov that even though there are shchitas that are posel and there are shchitas that are posel, not all psulim are the same. Psulim that go into the essential act of shchita itself render the animal a nevela. The nafkamina between nevela and treva, as we've discussed, is legabe tumah. Each one is a lav. Nevela is a lav deraisa. Treva is a lav deraisa, but treva is not mitame, and nevela is mitame. Now the Gemara takes this a step further. The Gemara tells us that whenever there's a nekuvas havoishit where the simen, the voishit is being caught, and the simen is not complete, there's a hole in the voishit. Not only does that render the animal a treifa, for instance, if we could see in an X-ray that an animal had a nekuvas havoishit, milk that came from that animal would be also to drink, because it's called yoitze minat treifa. Not only is it a treifa, but the Mishnah and the sugya and daf mem beis is mechadish that since the mokim hashchita itself is, it's impossible to shecht it properly because it's missing. There's a hole. There's a nikuv in the mokim hashchita itself, in the voishit, in the pipe of the voishit itself. Not only does that make the animal treifa, but it also renders the animal a nevela, and the shchita is not considered shchita at all. It would be mitamek nevela. And over here there's a famous machlokes hapoiskim, which is actually quite negel halacha. What happens if an animal is a sofik nekuvas havoishit? You don't know if an animal was shechted, and now you see a hole in the base shchita, somewhat above where the shchita was, where the knife sliced through the simen. There's a hole there, and it's not clear when the hole came about. It's a sofik if that hole was there before or not. A sofik nekuvas havoishit. There's a machlokes the Kreisi Uplesi, the classic Sefer on Yerudea from Rabbi Yonis and Ebshitz, the author of the Urim V'Tumim, and between the Chassam Sefer. The Kreisi Uplesi is in Simon Lam and Gimel in Yerudea, Sif Katan Dal. The Chassam Sefer is in Yerudea, Simon Chof Hei. And they argue what is by a sofik nekuvas havoishit. What's the basis of their machlokes? Rabbi Yonis in Ebshitz in the Plesi explains that since the Gemara that we quoted later on Daf Mem Beis says that essentially a shechita which is done on a voishit which has a hole in it is not only a treifa but it's also a nevela, that means that any question on the kashrus of the voishit being shechted essentially calls into question the status of the shechita itself. It's not just that the shechita has a psul of treifa, which is considered midover acher, but it's a problem of the shechita itself. And here we have the klal, the Gemara and Daf Tes, where the Gemara and Daf Tes says that an animal has, essentially, every animal that's alive, that's being shechted, is in the status, has the status, status quo of being an avela, tzitzasu to eat. Kol behema she'eni yodeya im nishchato is considered nevela ad sheyivoda she'nishchato, like the Gemara says. And daftesma she'en kin treifa, every animal is assumed to be a non-treifa. Roiv behema is enim treifa, as we've discussed. And therefore every animal, until proven otherwise, is assumed that b'shash chita, it was not a treifa. And therefore any problem that was found afterwards would be assumed to, like the Gemara says over there, and daftes to have taken place afterwards. A hole was punctured. There was a puncture in the voishit, in the pipe of the animal that was caught. And that only took place afterwards. And Chazaka says like it, not Chazaka, Roiv, that is, because the Roiv says that the animal wasn't a treifus. Obviously it's something that happened afterwards. So this is the machloikis between the Plesi and the Chassam Sofer. The Plesi says that since over here, Nukuvas HaVoshet, essentially, even though Shechita per se was done, but in line with Rav Yosheva's reasoning, since the Shechita is essentially rendered invalid, Al Yidei Nukuvas HaVoshet, it's considered not a kosher Shechita, it has a din of nevela, therefore, the animal stays Becheskes Enei Zavuach until we know for sure that there was no Nukuvus HaVoshet. The Chassam Sofer says that even though Lahalocha, Nukuvus HaVoshet will render the animal Nevela, but since the act of Shechita was performed, even according to Rabbi Sheva, he explains, that's only where the Maisa Shechita was done with a Psul, that we say that the animal is a Nevela. But where the act of Shechita was done 100%, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the act of Shechitas HaSimin itself, there's a problem with the shechita mitzad acher because there's a hole in the voishet. There's a nekuvas voishet that might render the animal nevela, but doesn't change the fact that essentially a ma'isa shechita was done. Therefore, since we have a ma'isa shechita in front of us, the animal is already not considered to have the status quo of a animal which is also to eat. Therefore, there's a suffix, we will say that it's a suffix maybe that was nischadish later on, and we will pass him based on the roiv, that most animals don't have nekuvas havoshet, that the problem occurred after the shechita, and the animal will be kosher. Reb Chatzkel Abramsky, Dain Abramsky of London, brought a fascinating parallel to this type of discussion, b'shem his Rebbe Reb Chaim Brisker, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, from a very difficult halacha to understand in a totally different context. In Yeridei Kuf Tzadik Tes, in Hilchis Tvilo, Tvilo of a woman who's trying to be Matar herself, Midei Tumas Nida, there are two halachas in Kuf Tzadik Tes, Sivches and Sivtes, which seem to contradict each other. We know in halacha, Legabi Chatzitza of being toveling in a mikveh, a woman is toveling in a mikveh, she has to make sure that there's no Chatzitza, there's nothing, preventing the water from hitting every single part of her body. There's two types of chatzitzas. There's a chatzitza on her flesh, chatzitzas besara, and that passes even b'miut midirabonon. Anytime a woman is toivel and there's something, there's any ink, let's say for instance on her finger that she could have washed off, or there's a piece of extra skin hanging over her nail and the water didn't go into one part of the body, midirabonon, we make her be toivel again. There's another halacha, which is called tumas, which is called magas veis hastorm. And this is, there are places in a woman's body, in a person's body, which the water cannot reach. For instance, the water cannot reach inside, deep inside a person's mouth. Is that a chatzitza? No. Why? The Gemara learns out that, or let's say in one of the cracks and crevices of the body, the Gemara learns out that this type of situation, which is called veis hastorm, a hidden place which is inaccessible to the water, the Gemara says, the water does not have to reach part of the body, but the Gemara explains that if there is a chatzitza on that part of the body, then since it was not roi for the water to reach in that, to that spot, then that would be a chatzitza. For instance, if a woman has a, certain types of fillings on her, on a tooth, let's say there's a false tooth. The false tooth, which is not part of her body, covers part of her gum. The part of her gum, the water does not have to go in. There's no halacha that a woman has to open her mouth when she's toivel in a mikveh. It's not a chatzitza, the fact that the water was not toivel in her mouth. However, if her mouth would not be able to theoretically be getoivel, and that would be because there's something there that's blocking part of her mouth, then the halacha is the fact that that part of her body is not ro'i for tvila would render that a chatzitza. Again, this chatzitza, which in fact renders a tvila possible. And there's a chatzitza which renders the tefillah possible, not because the water has to hit that part of the body, but because the water has to be what's called in Gemara koloroi lebila in bila makeves. The water has to be ro'ui lemagas beis hastarim to reach into all the parts of the body al yidei the fact that there is no chatzitza there. And the Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Tzadik Tes in Siv Ches says that if a woman was also mitvilah, so a woman came out of the mikveh, and then she checked her body, and she found over there something on her body, a piece of dough, or some ink, or a piece of a hanging nail, anything that was a sofik chatzitza, the halacha is, since there's a sofik, we assume that her tvilah is not kosher, she has a status of a tmeyo, and therefore she has to be yorad litvoil, again, she has to go down into the mikveh a second time. In the next halacha, in Sif Tez, in Yeridei Kuf Tzadik Tez, the Shulchan Aruch says, but when there's a chatzitzis beis hastom, for instance, there's a woman has, let's say, as we said, part of her gum, which she, after she comes out of the mikveh, she finds that one of her teeth came loose, and it's not attached anymore to her mouth, let's say, and it's now in the gum, and it's not clear when the tooth came loose. If the tooth is loose, then it's covering over the gum. It's not part of her body anymore. It's a chatzitza between the ability of the water, theoretically, as we said, to go into her mouth onto the gum. Or, maybe we could say that the tooth came loose only after she came out of the mikveh. Since it's a sofik, the halacha is the status quo of the tvilo in the mikveh is assumed to be a kosher tvilo, and therefore she does not have to be tevil again. One might say that there's a chilik between the two. This is a real chatzitza, and this is only a theoretical chatzitza. Maybe one's deraisa, the other. That's not the case. Both of them are deraisa. So the Achrayim try to find the chilik between these two types of chatzitzas. Why one misofik we're machmer and one misofik we are mekel? And Dain Abramsky brings that his Rebbe Reb Chaim explained the chilik as follows. A chatzitza which calls into question the whole maisa tvila, meaning to say, what does a chatzitza do? The Torah says, V'rochatz kol besora b'mayim, all parts of her body have to be touched, have to be covered by the water. If there's a chatzitza, then it's not called besora b'mayim. Therefore, if there's any question as to the validity of the tvila, was all her body covered by the water or not, we have a chazak, we have a status quo that she was not toivel. If that's the case, then in sofik, one has to be machmir. Classic case of chazaka, cheskas enoy tvula. However, once she did a maisa tvila, and the water went wherever the water had to go, her mouth does not have to be exposed to the water. As we said, even if her mouth is closed, the tvila is a good tvila. There's a psul in the tvila if the water theoretically would not be able to get into her mouth. If it's not roi labila, if there's a chatzitza there, and the water would not have been able to get in, that would passel, but it doesn't mean that there was no tvila. It means that there was a tvila with a psul of chatzitza pemagas beis hastarim. That type of psul is a dover mi bachutz. It's not considered as calling into question the status of a maisa tefillah itself. She definitely went into the mikveh and her whole body was covered by water. The problem is that there's a psul. If there's something blocking the inside of her mouth, even though the water doesn't have to touch it, but there's a psul, her tefillah is not kosher. If that's the case, then she has a status quo of the tefillah being a kosher tefillah until faked, until the psul is proved. Which would be similar to nevelo etreva. And Reb Chaim says the same concept is true over here. Nekuvas havoishet, there is absolutely no question as to validity of the Maaser Shechita. The Maaser Shechita was done by a qualified Shechit. It was done where it was supposed to be done. It was done how it was supposed to be done. It's perfectly 100% kosher. It happens to be, this halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, that a Shechita is rendered invalid completely ayidei the fact that someplace else there's a puncture in the simin, in the voishet. But that does not render the maisa tefillah not a maisa tefillah. It just says the maisa shechita. It just says that the maisa shechita is no good because there's a psul. If that's the case, that's already called, we have a status quo in front of us. that the shechita is a shechita, like Reb Chaim said by Tvila, the Maisa Tvila is a Maisa Tvila, the Maisa Shechita is a Maisa Shechita, and there is only a suffix, so to speak, from the outside, a Dover Chitzoini, that maybe there was a psul, either because there was a chatzitza in her mouth, or because there was a nekuvah savayishet, that already is a dover chodosh, and we are not mechuyiv to be machmir, unless it could be proven to us that there was a problem, either with a chatzitza, in the case of Hilchas Tvila, or in our case, if there was a nekuvah savayishet, but until proven otherwise, we assume that the shkita was a kosher shkita. This is the way Reb Chaim explain this concept, and Reb Chaim brought this as a raya to the Chassam Sofer, who's machshir by a case of suffik nekuvas havayishit. So one could say maybe the Kresi argues on this concept. In truth, the machlokes, the Kresi uplesi, with the Chassam Sofer did not revolve around the validity of Reb Chaim's reasoning. The Kresi uplesi is maskim that we're a proper shechita is bifoneinu, we have a status quo, that we have a kosher shechita, but the only question is that maybe there's a psul midover acher, the crazy would be maskim that we have a status quo of a kosher shechita in front of us. What did he hold? Why was he not maskim that the case of Safik Nekuvas Havoyishet was a case of a status quo of a kosher shechita with a problem mibachutz? Rabbi Chonah Vassman in Kovitz Saoris explains the Machloikis, the Plesi, and the Chassam Sofer as follows. He says there is an essential Chakira to be cleared, to be discussed, when one is explaining the Halach of Rubai Kekulai, which is the subject of the first few daf in our Perek. The Halach of Rubai Kekulai by Shechita, which the Gemara compares Rubai Kekulai by breaking Kalim, Legabe Tuma, and Legabe building a mechitza around a rishus to make it into a rishus ayachid, and the walls of a sukkah. Rubai Kekulai is a klal all of a shas, that roiv of any given thing that has to be built, cut, sliced, whatever the case may be, if roiv of it is performed, that's considered as if all of it was sliced. In our case of shechita, if roiv of the simon was cut, we say Rubai Kekulai, that's as if the whole simon, the kana or the vaisha, whatever was being cut, was geshochten properly. Says Rabbi Chanan that there's a chakira. How does Rubai Kekulai work? Is the pshat that we only need roiv? We only need to cut 50.1% of a simon? Or no? Batsim, we have to cut 100% of a simon. Says Rabbi Chanan, but when we cut most of the simon, the cutting of most of the simon renders as if the whole simon is cut already. What's the chili? Rabbi Chanan explains that if we say we only have to cut 51% of a simon, what happens if part of the simon is punctured? Part of the simon where the slice was performed, let's say starting from the left side of the simon, the shechet took the knife, started from the left side of the voishet and was cutting, and he stopped by the 60, so to speak, by the 60-yard line, 60% through the simon. He stopped cutting. If we consider that that's enough, so let's say there's a puncture, 20% over, at the 80% line of the simon. Where the puncture is, the shechita could not have been performed. You can't cut a simon which is punctured, which is cut already. But, since roiv the simon was cut, that's enough, says Rabbi Chanan. Oy Dilma. There's another way of looking at it. When 50.1% of a simon is cut, that cutting of the simon is chal in the whole simon. It's as if the whole simon was cut. But what happens if part of the simon no longer exists? Part of that simon is missing. A piece of the simon was punctured. You can't cut what's not there. Says Rabbi Chanan, and that's a basic hakir in Rubai Kekulai. An example, just to make things a little bit easier to understand. We know in Beis Din is a halacha, that, let's say, Beis Din of Dine Nefoshois, we need 23 Dayanim. Simple Din Torah of Dine Momnes, we need 3 Dayanim. The halacha is that we go with majority rule, Acher Rab Lahat, 2 Dayanim out of 3 is enough, 12 out of 23 is also enough to create a psak. What would be if only 2 Dayanim paskin in the first place? One Dayan didn't paskin, he walked away in the middle, or he wasn't there in the first place. You got a Beis Din together of 12 Dayanim, and 12 Dayanim rendered an unanimous opinion. Would we say over there also, Acher Rab Lahat, listen, All you need is 12 out of 23. So if I have 12 lechatchila, it's enough. All I need is a bezdin. I only need a consensus of two of the three dayarim. So if I have unanimous of two, matoiv and manoim, lechay, that should be a good psak halacha. The answer is, of course, that's not true. Why? Because ruvei kekula doesn't mean two is enough. It means when you have a bezdin of three, it means that the two will determine that the character of the psak of the whole bezdin is whatever the two say. If there's a bezdin of 23 and 12 out of 23 agree on a certain verdict, that's as if the whole bezdin of 23 decided, because the 12 are machriya, the 12 decide that this is what the bezdin as a whole, the bezdin of 23 that is paskening. But if 11 dayanim are not there in the first place, it's a psak of 12 dayanim. It's not a psak of 23. And the Torah says you need a psak of 23. You need a psak of 3. This is the concept of Rubik Kekula. It's not enough that you have the majority of something. What you need to have is, you need to have the whole bezdin, and the determination of what the bezdin holds will be based on roif. The same thing is true by shechting the simen. Be'etzem, you have to shech the whole simen. If you have to shech the whole simen, so why is it enough to shech 50.1? Why is roif enough to say rubik kekuloi? Because by shechting roiv of the simen, the whole simen is considered to have been shechted. But let's say part of the simen doesn't exist. It's the same thing as missing a dayan. If that's the case, then that shechita is rendered invalid. So what the kreisi uplesi holds is not, he doesn't disagree with the premise of the chasam sofer, that if the shechita per se is a kosher shechita, and there's a psul mimokoim acher, that would not be considered a regular nevela, and therefore by a suffix you could be maker. What he holds is that if there's a puncture, a suffix of a puncture in the other side of the simen, then that calls into question the whole validity of the klal of rubei kekuloi. If there's a problem that maybe part of the simen was not there, b'shas hashchita, the simen was punctured, there was a hole in the voishit, b'shas hashchita, then that would define for us that the simen is not shechted. Because really you have to shech the whole simen. 50.1% of shechting is considered as if the whole thing is shechted. But if part of the simen is not there, then it can't be considered shechted. That's the problem. That's why he holds that if you define the shechita as being missing in part, that renders the whole shechita as missing in validity, and therefore he holds that you still have a suffix as to the essential character of the shechita, and therefore b'makom safik you have a cheskas eni zivuach, and you have to be machmir. There's an interesting Rashi at the beginning of the perek. Rashi says on rubei kekuloi, Rashi seems to say that when we shecht roev the simen, there's still a lechatchila. The Gemara says, but Rashi explains it better. There's still a lechatchila to shecht the whole simen, which is difficult to understand. If 50.1% of the simen renders it a kosher shechita, why would there be a lechatchila to shech the whole simen? L'cha'ayra, what we hear from Rashi is that essentially the shechita is being performed on the whole simen, not on 50.1. Be'etzem, when you shech the simen, you have to shech the whole simen. It's enough to shech 50.1, because that would be considered as if the whole simen was shechted. But of course, the better thing, the more proper way of shechting, is to shech the whole thing. It's not going to make a difference in terms of kashrut. But as far as the maisa shechita is concerned, as far as the maisa that was done, it's of course better to shecht 100 than to shecht only 50.1. Because essentially, even when you're doing 50.1, really the imperative, the chiyuv of shechita is to shecht the whole simen. It's just considered as if the shechita of 50.1% is in the whole thing, rubei kekuloi. But if you can shecht the whole thing, it's better. There's an interesting similar concept. The Bach in Orechaim Tofayin Beis says a similar concept by Shtias Kois, when the Mavorech benches, makes Kiddush or benches, whichever bracha is being recited, ala Kois. So we know that you have to, the Mavorech is supposed to drink Roiv HaKois. The Bach says, Balechatchila, he should drink the whole Kois. What's the lechatchila drink the whole kois? Rubei kekuloi. See, here again, we hear the echo of the same svara ringing true. Be'etzem, the chiyuv is to drink the whole kois. When the mevorech drinks roiv of the kois, what based on the concept of Rubei Kekule, that's considered as if he drank the whole thing. But of course, if the mitzvah is to drink the whole thing, it's better to really drink the whole thing, not just to drink the whole thing in Lomdus. It's certainly better to drink the whole thing in reality than to drink only a majority of the kais, and that's considered as if he drank the whole thing. So this is again the same nekuda, that's why the essential character of the shkita is called into question when there is a hole in the voshet, because ad kama, that part of the food pipe is missing, then that would be considered that partial shkita, that rubei kekuloi, because shkita can't be chal on the whole simen, in which case the ma'aser shkita is posel. There's another place where we see very clearly such a svara, and this is in the beginning of the parak, Daf Yutes, Daf Chof. Rashi and other Rishonim discuss a concept. There's one of the psula shchita we know is hagroma. Hagroma is the where the knife veers out of the simen, goes from, obviously it's attached, the pipes are attached from the jawbone, from the upper part, going up towards the head of the animal, going down towards the lungs, going down further towards the stomach, and that simen has to be shechted. The very top of the beis hashchita is there's a place where the simen gets wider towards the head of the animal, where the ear comes in itself, the ear that's inhaled or exhaled by the animal going out, and that place of the simen, the beis hashchita, the pipe, is a little bit wider. If the shechit while cutting the simen veers upwards and slices out of the beis hashchita, meaning say out of that wider span, and it's already considered in the uppermost chelik of the simen, which is literally attached to the mouth, that's a psul hagroma, that's not considered to be in the makom hashchita anymore. Says Rashi and other Rishonim that even if the shechit shechted roiv of the simen in the proper place, and then as he was getting towards the end of the simen, he veered upwards and went shaloi b'mkoymoi and made hagrom, it would also be possible. This is very hard to understand. If he shechts roiv of the simen b'mkoymoi and he stops, rubei kekuloi, it's enough to shecht roiv simonim. How could it be that what happens afterwards, that he veered upwards, would make it worse than if it wasn't shecht in the first place? Why should the going upwards be any worse than if he had stopped? The teretz is pashut. Really, the mitzvah, the chiyuv, the hechsher of the shechita is to shecht the whole simen. It's enough to be mekayim shechita of the whole simen by shechting through a roiv of the simen. That's the klal of rubei kekuloi. However, if in actuality he shechted the rest of the simen shaloi b'mkoyim, you can't say that the kosher shechita, which was done on roiv of the simen, now is considered as if it was shechted properly in the whole simen, because the rest of the simen was shechted shaloi b'mkoyim. That would render it possible. So here we see again very clearly the same idea, where something has essentially a halacha of rubei kekuloi. But in certain cases where part of it is missing, or where it was performed, the rest of the process was performed shaloi kahalacha, that would passel even the rubei kekuloi that was done properly, because it can't be considered kekuloi once the rest of the thing, the miut that is missing. This is true by shechita, and like we said, it's true by a kois. The concept could be true in Erevin, also in certain places which are not within the range of this year to discuss. There's some fascinating parallels when we say rubei kekuloi in terms of schach that's used on top of the sukkah, or the walls around a rishus hayochid that are built to fence it in, to consider it a rishus hayochid. Also, you might have the same idea where essentially beikoro and you have the klal of rubei kekuloi, but if the miut was done improperly, that would give a shame psul, and then the rubei kekuloi would not be considered as being done the whole thing, because rubei kekuloi always means that it says if that process is being performed in the whole simen, the whole wool, the whole beis hashkita, the whole kois, etc., etc. And again, this is the machlokes of the Plesi and the Chasam Sofer in how far do we take this concept in defining that a shechita that was done properly, but there is a puncture, a nekuvas, havoishit, where there's a hole in the voishit, how far would that pasul the shkita to render it totally not a ma'aseh shkita? In which case we still have a chazaka that the animal, the shkita itself is called into question. In which case we have a chazaka that the animal wasn't yet kishokta. We say no, the shkita was performed properly berubay. Now there's a problem. That problem is already a dovah mibachutz, and it would not pasul the shkita in the strictest sense of the word, and therefore would be a dovah chodosh. In which case the roiv would paskin that it happened later on, and the shkita would be rendered kosher, which is the psak of the chasam tzik.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.